Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk today about a very small word with very huge implications, and that word is if. If, a very small word, has incredible implications for our faith, for our lives together, for the work of Jesus. That word if is a dangerous word. Now, there are lots of times, of course, in the English grammar that we use the word if, and it doesn't really mean much, and that's fine. But here, in the sense of talking about the gospel today and Lent in general, if is a dangerous word. We encounter it throughout Scripture in various ways where if is used as an ultimatum. If you do this, then this will be the result. A lot of times God uses the word if, and he'll say, if you follow my commands, if you do what I'm telling you to do, if you follow my teachings, then the result is actually good. You can live long in the land that I'm giving you. If you do these things, the result can be great. But there's always the flip side of that coin, right? That if you don't do them, then life is hard. Life goes poorly, and death is the result. If you do all of the things, then life is great. If you don't, then life is bad. And it's sort of that way for all of the creation. If the weather is good, then life is good. If the weather is bad, then life is bad. If you follow the speed limit, you won't get a ticket. If you don't follow the speed limit, well, you might not get a ticket, but you could. There's lots of ifs. There's lots of conditions when it comes to ifs. We if a lot in our lives. And in our lives together, we if a lot. If we treat each other nicely, then life goes well. If we treat each other poorly, then life doesn't go so well. If we behave ourselves, there are rewards. If we don't behave ourselves, then there are punishments. If is a tough word. In our gospel reading today, there's one who uses the word if a lot, and it's not God. In fact, throughout the Gospels, the word if can be used as a sort of a nickname for Satan. He's the if-er. He's the if one. We see it here in our Gospel reading where Jesus is led by the Spirit to be tempted in order to prove who he is to those who are receiving him. And the tempter comes, and the first word he utters is if. Now Jesus has just come, if we've read through the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has just come from being baptized, coming up out of the water, having the Holy Spirit descend on him as a dove, and hearing the words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the next word he hears is if. Let's sow some seeds of doubt. Let's see if Satan can get Jesus to doubt the proclamation of the Father. If you are the Son of God, if you believe what that voice in the cloud just told you, well, something simple, something small. Just turn these rocks into bread so you can have something to eat. It's no big deal. It's just a little bread, and you're hungry. So, if you are the Son of God, then do this, and you know, nothing bad's going to happen. You're hungry. Of course, God's going to understand. If you are the Son of God, if. Now, Satan knows who Jesus is, right? There's no doubt about that. Satan knows who Jesus is. He may have even heard the voice from the Father proclaim him to be the Son of God, but Satan's whole motive here is to trip Jesus up and have him doubt his identity as the Son of God. He knows. If is a dangerous word. It has evil intentions. If you are the Son of God, then do this. Prove it, in other words. If is one of those words of proof. If this is so, then prove it. Show it. If God is good, prove it. If you are the Son of God, then do this. Jesus responds with another very short, two-letter word. That word is. He says, "It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." It is. Not if it is written, not if we had said this, not if we had done this, but it is written. Jesus has no doubt. And Jesus gives no leverage to Satan. It is written, confident and true. That doesn't sway the devil, right? One little word, that's no big deal. We're going to try something else. So he takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem, and he says, "Jump. And if you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, if God really loves you, then he'll catch you. He'll send his angels to catch you. If you are the Son of God, if you say you are, if you are who you say you are, then nothing bad can happen to you. So just jump." And Jesus says, "No. We don't put the Lord God to the test, because it is written that we don't put the Lord God to the test. It is written." His response has no doubt, no question, no challenge, just simply, "It is written. I'm not going to do this because it is written this way." Notice what Satan uses to try to tempt him also, because he'll say, "It is written that you won't get hurt. It is written that he'll bear you up. It is written that the angels will catch you. It is written, Jesus, so there you go." Jesus says, "No, it's not the way that it works." Satan is sort of cherry-picking scripture there. "I'm going to make the Bible say what I want it to say," Satan says. Sounds familiar. Finally, Satan takes Jesus to the top of the mountains. Maybe it's Mount Everest. Who knows? The top of the mountains. And he shows him all of the nations of the world in one go. And he says, If you give up your identity, if you ignore what God says, if you go against everything that makes you who you are, if you bow down and worship me, you can have it all. If the condition is Jesus' complete surrender to evil. If is a dangerous thing. If comes up again, and since we are in the season of Lent and we're leading towards that image of Christ on the cross in the Passion, there's another if that shows up, and it sounds really familiar. As Jesus is hanging on the cross, the passers-by will whisper or shout or whatever they'll do, and they'll say, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, and we'll believe in you." Now, do you think that's the people? Because that sounds very familiar. If you are the Son of God, Jesus, even though you're hanging there on the cross, you're dying for the sins of the world, if you are the Son of God, just come down. It'll be all right. Then everyone will believe that you are who you say you are. If you give all of this up, if you quit the plan now, if you turn away from everything that God has laid out for you and for the whole history of creation, well, then these few passers-by will believe that you are who you say you are. If. We all, if, at times. We all do. This is a human condition. Of course, as Paul says in his letter, we have all sinned, and it came in through Adam and Eve, who were the first to fall prey to the if. Although in our Genesis account, it doesn't say that Satan uses the word if, but it's the same kind of idea where he says, "Did God really say? if God said this, well, he's wrong. If God said that you shouldn't eat this fruit, well, then you can just ignore that. If God said this, then he's afraid of you because he doesn't want you to be like him. If. And that if filters down through all human beings. And at times we all if. If God were real, then my favorite person wouldn't have died. If God were so good, then all of this stuff in this world wouldn't happen. If God was who he says he was, then life would be much better than it is now. Do those ifs sound familiar? In our own ears and in the mouth of somebody else. If sows those seeds of doubt, and that's its purpose. Its purpose is to ask for proof. Even Peter does that when Jesus is walking on the water in the storm in the late of the night, and he says, Jesus, if it is you, call me out of the boat and I'll come to you and walk on the water. Well, Jesus says, well, come on. And Peter does for a time. If demands proof. We do that all the time. If God is who he says he is, if God does what he says he does, well then why? Why does all of this stuff happen? Well, how do we respond to that? What does faith say to the if? If you are a child of God, why do you act that way? Why do you say the words you say? Why do you live the way you live? If you are a Christian, then prove it. Do all of these things and prove. There are lots of temptations out there to give in to the if or to give up. What do we say when we know? We know. We know what the is, right? We know that Jesus is the Son of God. We know by faith that he is the one who died for all of our sins, that God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to do this. We know this. We know the is. We know what's written. We've read what's written. We speak what's written. We come to the table and we receive what's written. We know this. And yet the if is persistent. The if always challenges. I will tell you this, and this is not I'm not being optimistic, which is the way that it is. The if will never go away. I want you to know that. The if isn't going to go anywhere. The if will always be there up until your dying breath. The if is going to whisper. It's going to be there. But even more powerful is the is and the am. Jesus says, it is written, I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am all of these things. And so no matter what you see out there, no matter what ifs are whispering in your ears, you go to the I am. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the Savior. This is my body. This is my blood. This is the water that cleanses. We answer the if with the is. It is written, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The is, it is written that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It is written that these things are true. Now, we can't always come up with witty answers or even instant scripture responses. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He knows the Word. We have to learn it. But I want you to hear this. When the ifs whisper, when the ifs come left and right, when the ifs challenge everything, we do what Martin Luther encouraged us to do, and that is to go to my baptism and say, I am a baptized child of God. No matter what I see around me, no matter what I hear whispered in my ear, no matter what challenges and ifs show up, I am a baptized child of God. So let's try it. If you are a Christian and you're still sinning, how can you do the things you do and still call yourself a Christian? What do we say? I am a baptized child of God. When Satan comes and whispers the ifs, if the science says all of this stuff, how can you still believe in these other things? And we say, I am a baptized child of God. If you believe in God and yet you know you're still going to die, why are you even following Jesus? And you say, I am a baptized child of God. You're going to need to say it louder than that because your ears are going to deceive you and think that you didn't really say that, did you? And you don't really believe that, do you? If you are, then you need to say it louder than that. And we say, I am a baptized child of God. We say that with all the confidence in the one who is, who was, and is to come, even Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ, that is ours in Christ, guard and keep our thoughts, our minds, and our hearts always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.